I hope your children like Vrindavan. You like Krishna? If you like Krishna, then you like Vrindavan. We're going to go to Vrindavan tonight. Wouldn't that be nice? We're going to go by sound, not by airplane. Because you can go to Vrindavan by sound. We're reading from chapter 12 of Canto 10. And chapter 12 of Canto 10 is a chapter that deals with Krishna and the cowherd boys. And the scene is they're going out to play along with the calves. And then later they meet Arishtasura, and then the killing of Arishtasura, and then the rest of the chapter is Brahma steals the calves and cowherd boys while they're having lunch. So that's the chapter 12. And we're kind of stuck on one very celebrated verse, text number 11 of chapter 12, this verse that ends Krita Punya Punja. Celebrated verse, and it's referred to again and again and again and again and again. So we're going to read some of those, and we'll continue tomorrow because there's a whole lot of them, because it's such an important verse. It's specific to the cowherd boys. It's describing how fortunate they are that they play with Krishna. And the verse speaks of those who are the impersonalists and those who are in dasya, bhakti, and those that are materialists. They view Krishna in different ways, but the cowherd boys, they're playing with him. So it's specific to the cowherd boys, but the verse is cited in many other contexts. It's cited specifically the uniqueness of Braja Bhakti. Braja Bhakti, this above this and above this and above this and above this. So that's what the commentary does. And it hovers around this 10, 12, 11 verse. So that's what we're doing this evening. And the place that we're going to be reading from, for starters, is chapter 19, that is the chapter where if you want to look it up, it's 10, 19, 14. It's where that one of the Krishnas extinguishes the forest fire. And the cowherd boys, they don't see Krishna extinguish the forest fire because he asks them to close their eyes. And when they open their eyes, the forest fire is gone. So then they start thinking, wow. Maybe he's a demigod. So that's the verse. Text 14 from chapter 19 translates, when the cowherd boys saw that they had been saved from the forest fire by the Lord's mystic power, which is manifested by his internal potency, they began to think that Krishna must be a devata. And the commentary, this is Jiva Goswami's commentary, he writes, previously it was said, so then comes this 10, 12, 11 verse, in this way, with an abundance of splendor caused by Krishna, they played with him. Though he is pure consciousness or happiness known as Brahman for the Gyanis, he is the Supreme Lord for the devotees with Dasya Bhav, and is an ordinary human child for those covered by material illusion. Knowledge of Krishna's powers could not cover up the cowherd boy's pure friendship with Krishna, which is praised by all. However, some little knowledge of his powers arose at this time. His power was revealed, anubhavatam, by his natural inconceivable power, Yogamaya. The dictionary Vishva Prakash says that yoga means that which produces the extraordinary. That's an interesting definition of yoga. I'll read it again. Yoga means that which produces the extraordinary. It's obviously not a primary meaning, but it's one of the meanings from directly from the dictionary. The boys reflected on his powers, that which produces the extraordinary, which were revealed by Yogamaya, and then thought he was a special devata. What was his power? He had rescued them from the forest fire. He had done what was auspicious, kshemam. The boys then considered that because of Krishna, they did not die. Amaram, quote, "We will not be separated from Krishna on account of dying if we surrender to him." And another reference to this 10, 12, 11 verse comes in chapter 22. The 22 is the Krishna stealing the garments of the cowherd, of the girls, the gopis. In the beginning, there is their prayer to Katyayani. Their prayer to Katyayani is verse 4 of chapter 22, which reads, "Each of the young unmarried girls performed her worship while chanting the following mantra. O goddess Katyayani, O great potency of the Lord, O possessor of great mystic power and mighty controller of all, please make the son of Nanda Maharaj my husband. I offer my obeisances unto you." And again, this is Jiva Goswami's commentary. He writes, "The spiritual Durga is the presiding deity of the 18-syllable Krishna mantra because her names are the same as those of the material Durga. Confusion arises. There is a rule that one should express a particular name of the person desired as the husband in the third part of the verse. Since Vraja has pastimes like the material world, the girls worship Katyayani as Maya Devi. Their worship of her, however, is filled with the joy of the highest prema. Thus, Krishna cannot be attained by worship of the material Maya. If some respectable people think otherwise, they cannot touch even the slightest trace of Krishna prema. Pure prema for the Lord is the highest goal. The worship of all the devas is included in worship of the Lord." This is the conclusion of the Bhagavatam. The gopis eternally possess that prema. They are fully accomplished. What is the question of sadhana for them? Considering the highest attainment of prema, that prema realized with pure sweetness becomes mixed with thinking of Krishna as supreme and thinking that he is the cause of pure bhakti out of reverence. Bhagavatam is controlled by prema alone, and the people of Raja are not praised for such mixed prema. Now, what's being said here is similar to the verse with the cowherd boys. Those with dasya bhakti and attain pure devotion through dasya bhakti, they see the Lord with his position of opulence, kind of like us. We're supposed to be worshiping Krishna in our present stage, like worshipping the deity form in an Aishvarya mood. He's the Supreme Lord. Everything is to be offered to him. And we do that in a regulative fashion, and those that follow that attain a certain stage of prema, mixed with the understanding of his powers and so forth. So, and that's prema. That's also prema. But then there's the prema of the Vrijvasis, which is, they're not praised for mixed prema. They're praised for prema realized with pure sweetness. And this reference to, similarly, this reference to Katyayani, there's a longer commentary in the Bhagavatam that states that the spiritual Katyayani, or spiritual Durga, as it's being said here, because Katyayani is the name of one of the forms of Durga, so the spiritual Durga, or Katyayani, that's Yogamaya. And it's only through the agency of Yogamaya that you can connect with Krishna. The material feature does the opposite. So they were wanting Krishna as their husband, and therefore it was the spiritual Katyayani that they were worshipping. Here's Shukadeva Goswami speaking, quoted in the 9th chapter of Canto 10. This is the Damodar Lila. Neither Brahma nor Shiva nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Lord, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. So that whole section, chapter 9, is the virtues of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, but even her more than him. Then comes our favorite verse here, this 10, 12, 11. I'll read it again. In this way, with abundance of splendor caused by Krishna, they played with him. Though he is pure consciousness or happiness known as Brahman for the Gyanis, the Supreme Lord for the devotees with Dasya Bhava, and an ordinary human child for those covered by material illusion. Then there's another verse. This is from chapter 47 of Canto 10. This is Uddhava going back to Braja after Krishna killed Kamsa and freed Vasudeva and Devaki, and he sent Uddhava. So it's from that chapter. When Krishna was dancing with the gopis in Rasa Lila, the gopis were embraced by the arms of the Lord. This favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or other consorts in the spiritual world in Gide. Never was such a thing even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the lotus flower. And what to speak of worldly women, who are very beautiful according to material estimation. Again, it's the exalted position of the residents of Vrindavan. Thus, the girls say, quote, the son of cowherd Nanda, instead of the Supreme Lord. They don't see him as the Supreme Lord. They see him as a member of the village and their beloved. This is the pastime of their pure, sweet prema and nothing else. It is situated above everything else. Now here's another reference to this 10, 12, 11 verse. It comes in chapter 66, which is the Pondraka chapter. So the Sudakshina was the son of Pondraka, and or the son of the king, and there was a ritual being arranged by Sudakshina to to get back at Krishna's killing his father, the king of Kashi. So here's Lord Shiva told Sudakshina, accompanied by brahmanas, serve the Dakshinagni fire, the original priest, following the injunctions of the Abhichara ritual. Abhichara ritual is a ceremony meant for killing or otherwise harming an enemy. There's mantras and procedures and ceremonies for doing that. Shiva continues, then the Dakshinagni fire, together with many pramatas, those pramatas are powerful mystics who are Lord Shiva's associates, and they can assume different forms. So this fire is going to rise from the fire, Dakshinagni personality, the fire demon or entity, along with some of Lord Shiva's associates. And they will fulfill your desire if you direct it against someone inimical to the brahmanas. Now that's just the opposite of Krishna. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. So it's a trick. And Shiva knows it, so it's going to be explained in the commentary. So instructed, Sudakshina, son of Pondraka, strictly observed the ritual vows and invoked the Agnichara against Krishna. So that's the verse. It's Canto 10, chapter 66, verses 30, 31. Then comes, again, Jiva Goswami's commentary. This was not a real sacrifice since they hated the Lord. In other words, sacrifices are meant for pleasing the Lord. The brahmanas were not real brahmanas. The fire will act against someone who is inimical to brahmanas and will not do at all harm to a person who serves brahmanas. However, it was directed towards Krishna who serves brahmanas. He is called Brahmanya Devaya. Thus, it would act against or destroy those who sent the fire demon, who were disrespectful to brahmanas. Abhramanye prayojitaha. This was Shiva's intentions. Sudakshina thought that Krishna was not devoted to brahmanas. Abhramanye. Since those persons devoted to brahmanas offered Krishna respect. So, since Krishna is being respected by the brahmanas, Krishna isn't respecting the brahmanas. He was materially calculating. However, the following should be understood. The Lord, worthy of all worship, sometimes produces pastimes which cause others to worship him. The intention of the Lord was to have both parties develop prema for himself, just like Kunti said. And Jiva Goswami quotes, Tata Paramahansanam Muninam Amalatmanam, famous in Kunti's prayers, Bhakti Yoga Vidanartam Katam Pashyema Hi Striyaha. The translation, Kunti's prayer. You descend to propagate bhakti yoga unto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? paragraph, Krishna comes to give bhakti yoga. This prema is the main motive of the Lord, with hundreds of scriptural statements to prove it, such as Salokya Sharasti, etc. That's a verse from Kapila's teachings to Devahuti, Canto 3, Chapter 29. Kapila says to Devahuti, a pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation, Salokya Sharasti, Samipya Sarupya, or Ekatva, even though they are offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, prema is the main motive of the Lord, is the statement. He gives benefit to brahmanas and others, brahmana hitaya, by having them worship him, while overcoming the fault of excessive awe and veneration for him. Since the great devotees, like Narada, never deviate, it is said that such a nature develops just by a spurti, or sudden appearance of the Lord, what to speak of by developing prema. Worship of the Lord by the individual produces bhakti in the form of prema, but filled with realization of the Lord's powers. By worship inspired by the Lord himself, however, the Lord gives the person pure prema with absorption in his qualities like gentleness, even though he is also great. He even sometimes hides his manifestation of powers. That pure prema is considered the best. So this evening's topic is the exalted position of the love of the residents of Braja, like the cowherd boys, Krita Punya Punja, and all the others. But it's also making comparisons to other forms of prema, but just not quite the same. This is spoken by Bali Maharaj from Canto 8, Chapter 23. This is Krishna has subdued the Bali and the demigods. Vishnu has subdued them and gave his mercy to Bali, who said, we have attained mercy that Brahma, Lakshmi, or Shiva, what to speak of others, have not attained. You, whose lotus feet are worshipped by the most respected person in the universe, are the protector of us demons in all respects. And then comes our celebrated verse, 10, 12, 11. In this way, with an abundance of splendor caused by Krishna, they played with him. Though he is pure consciousness or happiness known as Brahman for the Gyanis, the Supreme Lord for the devotees, with Dasya Bhava, and an ordinary human child for those covered by material illusion. Then another, this is again referring to the Uddhava visits Vrindavan section, but a different verse. No, it's the same verse. The gopis were embraced by Krishna. This favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune, though she was intensely attracted to him, or to other consorts in the spiritual world whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the lotus flower, and what to speak of worldly women. And the commentary continues. Thus, the Lord makes his appearance to give benefit to brahmanas and others by giving such pure prema to them, by inspiring them to worship and being worthy of such worship. This is not a deviation from his respecting brahmanas. His quality of being the best respecter of brahmanas, Brahmanya Devaya, is accomplished by this. sankalpam sada yishyati, since others cannot give them any benefit. So he worships the brahmanas by giving them the opportunity to worship him or respects the brahmanas or protects the brahmanas or honors the brahmanas by giving himself to them through worship of him. And especially when they become Vaishnava brahmanas that go beyond the Aishwarya aspect of him, that's the greatest. And that Vrindavan. So this is now again this 66th chapter, the Sudikshana. Is that his name? Sudakshina. And the ceremony for bringing the fire demon to harm Krishna. Then again, our reference to this chapter, to this verse, 10, 12, 11, comes the sage's teachings at Kurukshetra. The solar eclipse, chapter 84. The devotees from Dwaraka, the devotees from Braja went to Kurukshetra. They met. There are some sages, and some sages are giving some lessons. And the lessons have, it's glorification of Krishna, but it's an interesting way to glorify Krishna, we'll hear. It sounds like philosophy, but it's glorification of Krishna. Translation of chapter 84, texts 24-25. Quote, a sleeping person imagines an alternative reality for himself and, seeing himself as having various names and forms, forgets his waking identity, which is distinct from the dream. Similarly, the senses of one whose consciousness is bewildered by illusion perceives only the names and forms of material objects. Thus, such a person loses his memory and cannot know you. Commentary says, others do not know you. Two verses explain this. And he says, this is now, again, Jiva Goswami says, verse 22 onwards can be explained in another way. So here's 22-23. This is the sage's teachings. Let us offer obeisances unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the infinitely intelligent Supersoul, who has disguised his greatness through his mystic Yogamaya. Neither these kings nor even the Vrishnis, who enjoy your intimate association, Krishna's intimate association, know you as the soul of all existence. The kings and even the Vrishnis don't know him that way, is what's being said. They are enjoying your intimate association. They know you as the soul of all existence, the force of time, and the supreme controller. For them, you are covered by the curtain of Maya. Because of their intimacy in love for Krishna, the Vrishnis, the residents in Dwarka, they don't see him exactly as the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Powerful. They see them as their dear relative. So again, Jiva Goswami writes, there's another way to take all of these verses. And here's the other way. How does the Lord act in this way? He is not covered by Maya. He covers others by Maya, but he's not covered by Maya. We offer respects to the Lord who is not covered achana, by his extraordinary avarana shakti or material maya, since he manifests unlimited powers. Or, we offer respects to the Lord who covers his powers by his mercy, mayaya, so that he can have intimate relationships, yoga, with his devotees, sva. Therefore, he is most dear to all. Paragraph. So we're in Kurukshetra. It's the sages speaking to everybody. The persons are speaking to Krishna, but others are attending. The persons present at this place are more fortunate than us, the sages are saying. That is explained in verse 23. Those who have gathered here and the intimate Vrishnis who are superior to all the others do not see the Lord to be covered by a screen of Maya. Rather, they see him uncovered because he manifests his Swarup to them. Realizing his uncovered form, they do not see his form as impersonal Brahman, Atmanam. Surpassing that, realizing his personal form, they do not even see his form as Paramatma, Kalam. Surpassing that, realizing the form of Bhagavan, the source of all other forms, they do not see his form as the Supreme Lord, surpassing all those realizations of bliss in those forms, one after another, they realize him as the Lord of his affectionate friends. And then comes our celebrated 10, 12, 11 verse. In this way, with an abundance of splendor caused by Krishna, they played with him. Though he is pure consciousness, or happiness known as Brahman for the jnanis, the Supreme Lord for the devotees with Dasya Bhav, and an ordinary human child for those covered by material illusion. Then another verse that's being spoken by Shukadev to Maharaj Parikshit, Canto 5. Oh, King Parikshit, Krishna was the protector, instructor, object of worship, giver of affection, and the protector of both the Yadus and the Pandavas. But he was sometimes your servant. The Lord gives liberation, but rarely Bhava Bhakti to those who worship him. That's Jiva Goswami's translation. It's not exactly Prabhupada's giving Bhava Bhakti to those special souls. Then, verses 24 and 25 give an example. What's that example? The person who experiences in waking or dreaming state various objects, guna tattvadrik, gradually surpasses those experiences and enters deep sleep, shayanaha. In that condition, he does not know himself by name, such as Devadatta, or is not made visible by experience of his senses. Rather, he knows his pure form of happiness, param, devoid of all this. So it's comparing the person in deep sleep to a person in samadhi. And in samadhi, one has lost contact with the temporary, various sense objects. The person bewildered by Maya does not know you, verse 26. The person is bewildered by Maya through actions of the senses in perceiving the objects and names because of meager memory. Or here's the transcendental picture. Though the person is in deep sleep, one person among the Vrishnis knows you as you are, not as something else. He directly realizes the eternal nature for your qualities like compassion, completely dispersed, abhatam, into various names and objects. For these devotees, deep sleep is samadhi on the Lord. And then Jiva Goswami quotes a verse from the very last chapter, toward the very end of the very last chapter of Canto 10. Quote, the Vrishnis were so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that they forgot their own bodies while sleeping, sitting, walking, conversing, playing, bathing, and so on. They know the form of Shyamasundara, revealed by their senses, defined by names like Krishna, Nama Matrena, and not devoid of these. They did not know him as impersonal Brahman. And the last, verse 25 concludes, all people, because of inundation with Smriti scriptures concerning Dharma, are not bewildered in heart about you by the form of Maya, by actions of the senses upon objects with various names, but they know you. They realize you. So, this is sages in Kurukshetra speaking about Krishna, and they're also speaking about those that have different qualities of realization of Krishna. And, of course, our acharyas are taking advantage of their words to show that they're revealing the exalted nature of the residents of Vrindavan. Because they're the, over here, the residents of Dwarka, and over there, the residents of Vrindavan, and they're meeting together, and they're honoring both. The Vrishnis have a very special love. They see him as their family member, but they still have some understanding of his power and opulence and so forth. And in Vrindavan, they don't know those things. I mean, they see those things, but that's not their relationship, that's not their relationship with him. The cowherd boys and the gopis and they're so fortunate that the greatest demigods and even the goddess of fortune can't even dream of the good fortune that they're receiving. They may hanker for it, but it's not awarded to them. Remember that question that was being asked? Balaram's the original spiritual master, so he can also give prema. Why didn't he give prema to Duryodhana instead of other things? It's very special to get prema. And prema comes to those. Krishna is the giver. And he gives to those who want. But it's, we hear in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, even giving bhakti is more rare than giving impersonal liberation. Because by giving bhakti, he gives himself. And who's he going to give himself to? People who want him. He's not going to give himself to people who don't want him. People who are inimical to Vaishnavas and Brahmanas and what to speak of Krishna. So Balaram's not going to do that because he would misuse it and doesn't want it. It's not an imposition. Give because it's good for you. It's a voluntary status. Just like taking up the activity of what we're doing, hearing Bhagavatam's message morning and evening. It's voluntary. We can be doing other things. But it's a privilege. And we're choosing to receive that privileged opportunity. And it bestows so much benediction So our host family has two lovely little children to look after. And you didn't get to hear too much because of that. Huh? I understand why you did what you did. But, you didn't get to hear. So what we've been doing is our host family, they get the microphone first. But you've been occupied with your children, and so you can just listen, unless you have something you want to discuss. What would you like?
I have some questions.
You do? Okay.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for blessing us and for your valuable time. We are very fortunate, first of all, and not only that, your mercy. With your mercy, all of the nice Vaishnavas also came first time to our house. Thank you so much. Maharaj, the question I have, you mentioned that Brajabashi, they used to treat Krishna or think Krishna as like, you know, their friend, their villagers, just simple villagers. But my question is like, you know, do they know that this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And then they used to think like, no, okay, they are Supreme Personality of Godhead, but still we don't care. We think he's our friend. Or they didn't know about that one. Or they thought like, no, just this is our friend and we love this friend.
I got the question.
Thank you.
There's different relationships. And from time to time, Krishna showed his power, his divinity. And from time to time, they would go, wow. And then they'd speculate. And then Krishna would close the curtain. They'd just get covered by Yogamaya and they'd forget. Like in this case, where the example is that the swelling of the forest fire, they went, wow, he must be a demigod. And if he's a demigod, that means we're demigods too. That's the little children. And, you know, then there's so many examples here, because we've been discussing this, so it's really nice to review it again. When, on the occasion of Shivaratri, the residents of Braja went, to perform, a 3-day Shivaratri festival at a temple northwest of Mathura. And within a day's journey, they went. And there were many other people from other places, and because it was Shivaratri. And they did some rituals, and then at the end of the day, they took rest. And the big serpent came. Ananda was a little apart from the cowherd man, and the cowherd boys were over there so they could play. And the serpent started swallowing him, and he called out Krishna, because he remembered that Gargamuni said he'll have powers like Narayan. And with those powers, he'll protect the Brijbasis. So he is the king calling for his little boy, Krishna, remembering the words of Garga. I mean, that was like in his consciousness. So the cowherd men woke up, and you know the story. They got sticks and started beating the serpent, and some was still on fire from the campfire at night. The serpent wouldn't let go. Krishna came because he was a little further away, and just with one foot, placed his foot on the body of the serpent, and the problem was over. The serpent stopped swallowing him, but an effulgent demigod appeared from the body of the serpent and started offering prayers to Krishna in front of everybody. So he showed his power, and the Vidyadhara told the glories of Krishna. And they all saw and they heard. So they're going, wow. And, you know, they start to speculate. But, you know, Krishna shows his power. Your question, he shows his power. Mother Yashoda seeing the universe inside his mouth, or after the incident with Varuna, Krishna showed them the spiritual world by the river Jamuna. He showed them his divinity in different ways. And they have different ways of processing it. The main way that they processed it was, Gargamuni said, he'll have powers like Narayan. And with those powers, he'll protect the Brijvasis. So he's just empowered by, you know, somebody can do something because empowered by the Lord to do that something. Somebody can sing very nicely. Someone can dance. Someone can play music. Someone can whatever. They're gifted. And he's like especially gifted. So he's got powers from Narayan. But he's our friend. And then when the coward boys will come back at the end of the day, it was, guess what Krishna did today? And they go, wow. Let's cook up a meal for him and give him a bath. And because the sweetness was so strong, Madhurya was so strong, it eclipsed the Aishwarya. So your question was, did they know? Well, he revealed, but then concealed. Govardhan Hill, whole chapter. Who is he? And then Nanda Maharaj says who he is. He's got some powers from Narayan. That's who he is. But, you know, he's certainly not Narayan, because look at this little boy. He can't be away from us for even a minute. He starts to cry. He does all these naughty things. He steals, you know. Come on. Because of their affection. And their affection is natural. It's not contrived. It's not they worked on it. To enter into Vraja, that affection is a prerequisite. You have to have that visa before you can enter. That's their credential. And that's the mood of Vraja. So to have some idea that he's not ordinary, but they certainly don't think of him as Bhagavan.
So that means their love
was towards their favorite person, not the god, right?
Yeah, that's right. Whatever, son, friend, lover. There are servants also. Daruka likes to fan him. So there's different. The sthayi bhava is there, and it's stimulated by his wonderfulness, and then it becomes prema. And prema rasa, and they're just steeped in prema rasa, from flowing from one thing to the next thing.
Maharaj, I have another question. Can I ask? Maharaj, this leela, the sweet pastime of Brajadham, is happened in this earth.
Yeah.
This earthly planet. But is it happen also right now, somewhere in any other universe?
Well, it's not only happening somewhere in some universe. That's the prakat lila, but the aprakat lila is eternally going on. So you can see, you know, you said it several times on Earth, but it's, you know, it's a transcendental dham that's not exactly on Earth. There's the place Vrindavan that you can look at in a Google map. Or fly a drone over it and take pictures, or go by train, or go by taxi, or go by tanga. But that spiritual place is transcendental to what we see with these material eyes. Now, the prakat lila become manifest so that even bad people can see. even bad, yeah, the demons that came to see, but they saw, but they didn't see, but they saw. We were just reading in the morning when, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking about Keshi, he speaks with disgust because although he saw the sweet form of Krishna, he didn't recognize it. But they saw, the demons saw, Kamsa saw it, etc. But they didn't see. But that's the Prakat Leela. So your question specifically is Prakat Leela going on somewhere? Yes, Prakat Leela is going on somewhere. Just like the sun is always rising somewhere. Always.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
And his eternal associates are with him. Here's a nice question. Giriraj Maharaj asking Prabhupada and Juhu. Prabhupada, your question. Krishna's pastimes are eternally going on somewhere. The Kurukshetra battle is going on somewhere. The Pandavas being born as sons of Pandu is going on somewhere. And so forth. So, Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna is going on somewhere. So, since Krishna is going on doing his pastimes, does that mean there's multiple Arjunas? Here, and there, and there, and there, and there. Because if his pastimes are eternal, and then the associates, they're also with him. Going on somewhere. And Prabhupada's answer was yes. It's not like there's multiple Arjunas, like different persons in a different costume, and this one's Arjuna, and that one's Arjuna. It's Arjuna. And we discussed this, anyway, Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there's this very point is discussed. When Gopakumar is astonished, Narada, I saw you there, then I saw you there, then I saw you there. So, what's going on? And Narada, there's nice verses. Narada says in response, "We've already discussed this. You maybe didn't, you don't remember it or didn't understand it. But those of us who are engaged in service to the Supreme Lord, for His service." He has us expand ourselves in multiple forms, in multiple places, simultaneously. Now, it's not like the jiva splits into two jivas or something like that. It doesn't describe the technology. But for the purpose of serving the Lord, even the jiva, what to speak of Krishna himself, can manifest multiple forms. It's not like the yogis that maximum seven times, and each one is weaker. It's not like that. That's a mystic. That's a material power. The mystics are able to expand their forms up to seven times. But each one is weaker. But it's just material. It's the material. It's not the soul. The form. I don't know the technology, but it's one of the powers of mystics. But this isn't the power of mystics by mystic power. This is Krishna's engaging his devotees in multiple places simultaneously. It's confirmed in Brihad Bhagavatamrita and confirmed by Prabhupada. So that's just an embellishment to your question. Somewhere Krishna's taking birth. And then right after that, Krishna's taking birth and because it's a Nitya Leela. And then somewhere, and then somewhere, and somewhere. Because it's Nitya Leela.
That's why he takes birth once in Brahma's day here, that's like right. 125 years. Prakat Leela over here.
That's it.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Mahal. In the room, anything? or we'll go online. Yeah.
It's a little bit of a follow up
to his question.
Yeah. So does like the same thing apply to Brahma? Because I mean, what I've heard is that is it like that Brahma is expanded into like all the different universes? Because
Brahmas.
It's all different Brahmas,
different entities.
So does the Brahma Vimohan Lila happen in every universe, or every time?
Well, the pastimes of Krishna happen in every universe.
Okay, so
so that's one of them. Subset. Okay.
Yeah. I can read. This question is from Uttama Bhakta Das Prabhu. Vrindavan is dearest to Lord Krishna because of its spontaneous love, devoid of awe and reverence. Thus, absence of opulence and splendor also play an important role in Krishna's pleasure.
Yes and no. Uttam Bhakta, I refer you to Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the section is that after the Rath Yatra, while Jagannath is still in the Gundicha temple, there's a celebrated pastime where Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is taken from the temple, where she goes in a haughty mood to demand that Jagannath returns. And while the Lord Chaitanya's associates are watching, Srivas Pandit speaks. He's a Vaikunthavasi mood bhakta, describes the opulence of Lakshmi, and you know, in really like enthusiastic terms. Just see the opulence of my goddess of fortune, da 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 da. And Lord Chaitanya smiles and turns to Srup Damodar. It says, Srup Damodar, what do you have to say about this? Because he was comparing the opulence of the goddess of fortune to Vrindavan. And then Srup Damodar speaks about the opulence of Vrindavan that surpasses the opulence of anything. You're familiar with that section. And so Srivas Pandit is very happy to be defeated. So now the opulence is a little concealed in one sense, but you know, the opulence is greater even than the opulence in Vaikuntha. So it doesn't show the opulence to say the same thing again. It doesn't show the opulence in the same way, but the depth of the opulence in Vrindavan is even greater. So read that section and you'll understand what I'm saying.
Next question is from Sanchari Dasi Mataji. Two questions. What is the relationship of the inanimate objects of Vrindavan to Krishna? I'm thinking specifically about the blades of grass. I understand the humility aspect of it, but won't one be bored not doing anything? Doesn't this go against our nature, like how being in the Brahman effulgence goes against our nature?
Well, that's interesting. They're not in the Brahman effulgence, and it's not against their nature. They wouldn't take birth as a blade of grass without that nature being the, you know, what brought them to the position of being a blade of grass. It's not impersonalism, it's personalism, but it is a little difficult to understand. Our teaching brings us right away to the Dasya platform, but their position is in the neutrality platform. It's not Brahman effulgence platform, it's neutrality. And if you wish, you can go back and listen again or read the section of chapter 35, where the gopis are describing how the sound of Krishna's flute affects the creepers and the trees, which are like blades of grass just standing there doing nothing. The clouds in the sky, the rocks, the waters of the ponds, the lakes, the rivers. Those are in this Shanta Rasa. It's not impersonal Brahman, it's Shanta Rasa. But their Shanta Rasa is such that when Krishna plays his flute, they experience ecstatic symptoms and they display ecstatic symptoms. Now, so they're there for the service of Krishna. So that, yeah, that sounds like that's dasya. But they're serving in this position of neutrality as opposed to others that are serving in the active way. So to get more clarity, go back again and read or listen to the sections where we discussed that. There's several verses, several sections of verses describing the effect of Krishna's flute on the inanimate objects. And that doesn't happen in the Brahma Jyoti. Next.
The second question. Seeking clarification, I've heard that Madhurya Rasa is the underlying rasa for all others in Vrindavan. Is this true? If so, how does it affect the other rasas?
Well, I've never heard it that it's the underlying rasa. Rather, maybe that's appropriate to say, but I've heard it expressed that it's mixed, or the flavor of Madhurya is there with all the residents of Vrindavan, in the sense that they all want Krishna's happiness, and the greatest happiness of Krishna is Radha and Krishna pastimes, and so they're all inspired to facilitate Radha Krishna pastimes, augment, enhance Radha Krishna pastimes for Krishna's pleasure, although their primary rasa is something. They all have that appreciation or flavor.
That's all we have from online.
Okay. Anyone else in the room? Our team that came with me, they usually have all these nice questions. And then when they ask their questions, more come online. But.
Guru Maharaj, just thinking about this, cowherd boys playing, taking the lunchbox of one and, throwing it to others and playing, and the boy whose lunchbox it was, he cries and they give him back, and that pastime. I was just relating, to how kids play here, right? I mean, the source is there. And this bullying we see among kids. So I was just trying to relate this with that and see where is that, border.
Bullying is malicious. Yeah. And children's play is not malicious. Mm. I mean, boys play and boys tussle and it's not malicious. And bullying is malicious.
That's
the line.
Okay. Causing physical damage.
Yeah, delighting at the discomfort, and because I'm big and you're small, I'm going to make you really uncomfortable because I get pleasure making you feel uncomfortable because I'm big and you're small. Hmm. And the boys are just playing. I mean, there may, when worldly boys are playing, there may be some taking advantage of a weaker person kind of thing going on. But that's not, you know, that's not what the cowherd boys are doing. They steal Krishna's lunch pail. And so forth. You know, it's just playing. It's not bullying. That's the line. It's not done with malice to take advantage of a weaker person.
Like when our kids, they also don't in a malicious way, but if they play in a good way, and when Krishna with cowherd boy, they were playing, so that is divine, that is transcendental, but this is normal. So how to find the borderline?
Trying to understand that.
Yes.
I mean, that came to my mind because there was some incident and, something related.
I think he got his answer. He wants to clarify your question, but I think he got an answer to your question.
Maharaj, just to follow up that one, so can we say that this is a, we should not say, or we can say that this is a perverted reflection of
we
the
we do say all the time. So, but you know, just on the topic of bullying, let's just say there's, this is the reflection, and there's children playing, and they do fun things together. And there's some fun things that are bullying, and some fun things that are just fun things. That's in this reflection. I mean, I'll give an example. It's like, well, I'll name the names. I was, for some period of time, Sridhar Swami, Prabhupada disciple, Sannyasi, Sridhar Swami, and I were staying together in New York, and we would have lunch together every day. It was really nice. His association was really nice. And there was a period of time when Trivikram Swami was visiting in New York. And when those two got together, they would talk with one another like, this one would insult that one, and that one insult that one, and that one would insult that one, that one insult that one. And they didn't do it, they weren't laughing. So I was like, wow, how can they talk to each other like that? But it was just a rasa that they enjoyed that I've never had with anybody. Insulting and insulting and cutting them down and cutting them when, you know, saying things like, you're fat. You're just envious because you're tall and skinny. And, you know, like, or, you know, I mean, I don't remember what they said. But just like things that were really cutting. And I was like, wow. And I said it, you know, like, how can you guys talk to each other like this? And they said, it's like, you know, sparring and a king having a wrestler. And they just didn't, you know, there was no malice. There was no bullying of one another. But it's not normal. It was like a special kind of friendship that they had that went back who knows how long and went through a lot together and so forth. So it can be wholesome where one does something that's teasing and taunting and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, taking a lunch pail and throwing it away. Then it's not with malice. It's not bullying. It's just, so even in this plane, it can be done where it's not unwholesome, or it can be unwholesome. It can, you know, the unwholesomeness is the affective side of the, on the receiving end. So that the boy would cry, but it was something that wasn't, they were just picking on a weak one. They just did this with everybody. One of the many things that they did, along with so many other things that they did. So that's on the spiritual plane, and on this material plane, it can be bullying or it can be wholesome. someone has to be, you know, your boundaries, your limits of if I do this or say that, how is the other person going to feel? Is the relationship such that it's very elastic and it's very warm? And then it's not bullying. Okay, you have something. Online, see what happens.
Question from Amara Mataji. What happens that any ambition disappears when one gets a taste for Krishna consciousness?
Ambition?
Ambition. We never hear that cowherd boys were going to school. They were always playing. Also, like Dhruva Maharaja lost the taste of opulence after seeing the Supreme Lord.
Well, the cowherd boys went to school when Krishna went to school. That was some research. You know, it was somebody raised a question. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, why didn't he get the mantra and go to school? And there's multiple answers. And one of the multiple answers is, tradition is the Kshatriyas receive their mantra when they're 11. And then they go to school. And so when the cowherd boys heard, Krishna sent a message to them that he was going to receive mantra and go to school. So they wanted to get mantra too. And go to school. No, the school for a Vaishya boy and the school for a Kshatriya and Brahmin son are not going to be the same. But, you know, they were qualified. Saguri Muni, who was the son of Kargamuni lived in Vrindavan, and there were a number of scholarly Brahmins that could easily have trained the boys, and presumably at least they gave them mantra, whatever they did schooling wise. But I forget what the main, what's the, that was a digression from the main point. Ambition. I lost the train of thought.
Ambition disappears when one gets a taste for Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, but there was that. So I forget what that digression was all about. So ambition. The cowherd boys wanted to go to school when they heard Krishna went to school, not out of competition or ambition, just out of affection. Now, in this world, somebody may want something because their buddy got that something, and they want the something their buddy got because they're competitive and ambitious and all of that stuff. Shh. Nice try. Okay. Mode of passion drives the worldly ambition, and there may be an ambition, a transcendental ambition. That was what I was thinking. There may be a transcendental ambition to be pleasing to Krishna. Prabhupada encouraged like, you know, transcendental competition, you could say also transcendental ambition, to do something nice for Krishna, to, like, I've been circulating this nice recording of Badahari. And, you know, he, as far as I understand, he personally likes, because we discussed it once, the studio recordings, because it's very refined and you can get precise everything. Then he commented, but commonly devotees like the live kirtan. It has its flavor too. But he also likes, or particularly likes. So you can say, well, that's ambition or something, something. But it's making an offering to Krishna, so the material side of ambition is lost, and the transcendental side of ambition, or competition, or wanting to touch Krishna first, like the cowherd boys when Krishna would go off into the forest. I'll touch him first. No, I'll touch him first. No, I'll touch him first. Just out of affection for Krishna, not the material kind. So the answer is yes, but it may look differently than you might think it might look. Okay. Yes, something else.
So we've heard that Krishna is the strongest, but does he have a weakness also, Maharaj? If he can be bewildered, does he have a weakness?
Yeah, that's a nice question. If he's the strongest of the strongest, then he's the weakest of the weakest. He's the greatest of everything, right? So what's his weakness? He's controlled by the love of his devotees. That's his weakness. Go ahead.
And when we are reading Krishna Katha, it is said that Krishna's here.
Yeah.
So my question is not how I'm going to be able to see him. I think that's a little far off. But
when were you able to hear him?
But what is he doing when he's around? Is he watching?
Well, that's a very fascinating question. What's he doing? He's entering our hearts through our ears, and he's cleansing our hearts through our ears, starting through our ears, to make the heart suited, like just like this question that you asked about opening the heart instead of closing. He's making the heart ready to receive him. So we're inviting, but we're closed. And so he's making the heart ready to receive him. That's what he's doing, through sound. Rupa Goswami speaks, and he dances in the courtyard of the heart.
This question is from Tofu. How does spiritual geography work?
Spiritual geography.
We hear that the heights of persons were much greater in Satya Yuga and then decreased over the ages.
Yes.
Dhruva Maharaja meditated in one of the forests of Vrindavan.
Yeah.
But when we see Vrindavan, it seems geographically much smaller. How did he fit?
This is a college question. spiritual, the spiritual abode of the personality of Godhead is very inconceivably flexible, time and space. You ask Einstein about time-space continuum and you get some idea. Very flexible. Very flexible. So what you see today and what Dhruva was experiencing in Satya Yuga was probably a very different experience. But Krishna, the abode of the Supreme Lord is very accommodating And it, you know, he certainly fit very comfortably. Okay. I think that's it. You have something. Huh.
Maharaj, it is regarding like when we have some material desire, it is recommended like we can even go Chaturvedha Bhajate. Like
for, we can do what?
We can all, whatever the material desires we have, we can go to the Krishna.
Yeah, they can go to the Krishna.
So is it that like once material desire is fulfilled and I'm like, okay, I'm satisfied and done, or, but then I won't go deeper into the bhakti process, right? Like, is it that like, what I'm understanding is like, okay, I got my material desire, so I developed some faith towards Krishna, then, because I was asking this question because, Duryodhana, like, went to Balaram for the, the art, martial arts.
Yes.
So he got that and then he has just like, from then he didn't go towards prema or anything towards Krishna prema. He didn't have that type of desire. So is it that when I, with a material desire, we go and I don't have a clue of like, oh, I got my material desire, but Krishna can give more also other than material desire. So is it that like when I get a material desire, I just develop a faith and when I try to serve more and more, is it that I move towards Krishna consciousness?
The potential is there. I think I understand your question. The potential is there to go beyond coming up with yet another material desire and another material desire and another material desire. The potential is there. And from Krishna's side, he says, I'm not such a fool. I'm not going to fulfill their material desire so that they just come back again with 10 more material desires. I'll fulfill their desire in such a way that they'll exhaust the tendency for more material desires by giving my two lotus feet. That's Krishna's side. But even in the activity of approaching Krishna for fulfillment of material desire, it's purifying in the sense that we're going to Krishna instead of somewhere else, ourselves or some other agency to get the fulfillment of our desire. So there's spiritual elevation along with the fulfillment of desire. But it doesn't mean, like, you know, your example is a good example. Duryodhana got, but he didn't go beyond. And part he didn't go beyond because it really wasn't what he wanted. His nature was strongly demoniac. Very strongly. Inimical to Krishna and the Pandavas. Very strongly. You know, exceptionally. That Mahabharata describes when he was born, that the 100 pots and all that, and when his was the first birth, and everything was, there's inauspicious omens all over the place. And the elders said, this child should be killed. But Dhritarashtra was too attached even then. So, you know, sure enough, he was from birth super, super demoniac. So he had no interest. So did he get closer to, you know, inching or micro moving towards wanting Krishna prema? He certainly got benefit just by Balaram's association, that's for sure. And benefit means beyond the material art of fighting with a club. He got other benefit, but the other benefit got its fruition in terms of Krishna killing him. He got his liberation. So back to yourself, because that's what your main question is coming from. Will it happen for you? That the material desire gets fulfilled and therefore that my faith increases and therefore my bhakti will increase. Well, the potential is there and a lot depends on your orientation, like the earlier question about the openness of heart. Supposing the heart's not open. then that is not going to happen very, very quickly. Benefit will be there, but very, very, very slow. But benefit will be there. So a lot has to do with the orientation of your heart towards, I'm not there yet, but I wish to get there. And I have all these obstacles, like material desire obstacles, things. So, but I want to get there. Then that the bhakti is stronger in that case. The heart is more open in that case. And the receiving of mercy can will come in more quickly in that case. Okay? Her question.
Yes, ma'am. So I'm puzzled whether Balaram even told Duryodhana once that
I don't know what he said.
No,
he didn't. I don't know.
Try to correct him.
Don't go there. Okay. Prabhupada ki jai.